98.1 FM.
And it's time, it is definitely time for us to actually, you know, do a little detour, kind of a take a left turn, as it were. You're listening to Saturday Love, right here, 1410 AM. I'm Maurice Wilkie. On the line, we have a special guest caller, who's no stranger to the 1410 AM audience. Maybe not the 98.1 audience, but we're going to take care of that right now. Some people would call him a Renaissance man. He's a lifestyle reporter, blogger, fiction writer, car enthusiast, and designer and lead coordinator of the Morrison Golf Classic, which happens at Falmouth Country Club on the Cape. An actor, spoken word artist, performer. He's here today to share his love of automobiles, which has been featured online. And we're going to get the exclusive relaunch of his simplyrides.com. Welcome and Happy New Year wishes to journalist Sekou Writes.
Well, Will, thanks for having me.
Dope.
Glad to be back. So I shouldn't feel any kind of way about the fact that you let me in with skeletons in the closet, right?
Well, I shouldn't. I mean, you shouldn't.
I wasn't trying to say nothing, man.
Unless you have some, and like, please don't. I don't need that, man. You know, if you got them, keep them in the closet, man. Spring cleaning tomorrow.
Good year. We clean it up.
Happy 2019.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And yeah, I've got a lot of things going on, but today we're talking about cars.
Yeah, man. You've actually been featured on our station lots of times talking about automobiles. And do we have a lot to look forward to, you know, for this upcoming? I know a lot of us, especially in the Northeast, are trying to stay inside. But if we go to our car, we want to make sure that thing starts up right away. So what do you see on the horizon for new vehicles? Tell us.
Right. Well, I've been working in the automotive space for a while. I've been running a website called simplyrides.com where I write about different cars, typically geared towards women, pun intended on gears. And I used to work at Uptown Magazine where I was writing about cars, among other things. And what happened is I was at an Uptown party and a woman said, "Hey, I read your car story," which I thought was unusual. And then it kept happening. Women kept telling me, "Hey, I read your car story," even though I was writing feature stories and cover stories and whatnot. And so I realized that the way I was writing about cars was the way that women, I'm generalizing here, but a way that women like to interact with cars. Because I myself don't typically like to write about what I call the under the hood stuff. So the torque, the RPM, the double wishbone suspension and stuff like that. I like to write about cars in terms of aesthetics and feel and how the car fits into your life. And I discovered that a lot of women like to interact with cars in that way too. So I'm doing more of that in 2019, and I'm also adding some new elements to the mix.
Wow, splendid. Thank you very much. And I really appreciate that you're sharing all that kind of good stuff with us. And to be perfectly frank, I don't know about that stuff under the hood either. So you're going to probably help me out too.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of us that don't particularly care about the mechanics of the car, but we are interested in how the car will work for us individually, how it'll fit into our lives. And I think that's a good space. Also, I tend to infuse stories into my car reviews, and people tend to like that as well. It's kind of how it worked for me when I had it.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah. You've been doing this for a while. You really like automobiles, you found out.
It's funny you say that. I'm visiting my mom in Nashville right now, and she reminded me that my science project in, what grade was that? In eighth grade was a Cars of the Future science project that I won an award for. I had completely forgotten about that, but apparently, yeah, I've been a fan of cars for quite a while, and now it's just come full circle.
That's cool. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, you get a chance to test drive some really good cars, and you have over the past, and so I hope that continues into the future.
Absolutely. And I just want to know, you mentioned the relaunch earlier.
Yes.
And so I want to say to your listeners that for 2019, the element that I'm adding to Simply Rides is race. And not race like race a car down the street. Race like racism.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think I've been afraid to talk about racism in the automotive industry because I didn't want to piss anybody off. But if you look at what's going on, not just in Washington, but across America, you see a lot more polarization around race. And I think it's necessary that all of us do what we can to further the conversation about tolerance and promote cultural understanding. And I think that I can do that in the world of automotive. Like, I can talk about African-American and multicultural executives. I can talk about driving while black, some of the experiences that I've had,
yes,
and other men of color have had, and really kind of promote the conversation of race around automotive.
Now, we were actually just talking off air, and I thank you for saying that, because a lot of people don't talk about those things. They're very subtle things. We think we're past a lot of things, but those things still unfortunately go on. But there are actually some positives too. Like, for example, I didn't even know until you just mentioned that one of the lead, you know, account, you know, corporate executives for the Genesis car is a person of color from St. Croix.
Absolutely, absolutely. So some of your listeners might remember that Genesis was a vehicle that was created by Hyundai. It was their high-end vehicle, their attempt to move into a high-end market. And for those who have a couple years under their belt, you might remember that Hyundai started off as a budget brand.
Yeah.
So it was kind of groundbreaking for them to come out with a high-end car. But that car did so well, and it changed so many stereotypes about the brand, that they split Genesis off into its own sub-brand, kind of like Toyota and Lexus, right? So it's a different brand altogether with a different staff, and they're focused on luxury. And yes, the man that runs that brand is a black man. I've actually met him a couple times at auto shows here and there, and he seems to be doing a really great job. And I'm excited about the fact that there's a man of color at such a high position in the automotive industry. As you can imagine, there are not a lot of brown people in the automotive industry.
No.
And aside from that, definitely not a lot of brown men. So it's great to have that kind of person exist in this world. As a matter of fact, last time I met him, he was talking to a fellow journalist who was also a black man, and that man was saying to him, it's really nice to have you, in that way that black men talk to each other when they're saying something beyond what's being said.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Because that's important. That's important. It's a very white industry.
Wow. Well, I look forward to more talks with you in weeks to come, man. It sounds like it's going to be really fascinating to find out what's new out there on the road, what you've been able to test, find out, you know, experience from your point of view.
Yeah, just to give your listeners an idea of what's coming up,
yes.
I just test drove a Kia Optima from New York all the way down to Nashville. Since I've been in Nashville, I picked up a Toyota Tundra, which is a huge pickup truck. That was pretty fun. It made me definitely on brand for Nashville. And right now I'm driving the Lexus GS. And so I've got at least those three cars to talk about, but I also want to talk about race kind of around those cars.
Mm.
And what I think I want to do is do a kind of Simply Rides green book and talk about some of the places that I visited on my long sojourn from New York to Nashville, some of the places that were black owned, some of the places where it's safe to stop and have a meal and have a rest.
Wow.
Without worrying about the new climate of intolerance.
I'm about to say, even in 2019, that actually, there used to be a similar book that actually was published like maybe in the 50s and 60s. And the fact that you're actually, you know, recreating that is enlightening, somewhat disturbing, but definitely eye-opening.
Yeah, and thanks for saying that, because I didn't explain. For those of you who don't know, yes, the Green Book was a real thing. It was from, for my family, it's my grandparents' generation, and they used to, you know, have this book about where to stop on long distance drives, so they could be safe. You know, where to stay in hotels, where to eat food, and things like that. And then a movie just came out about that phenomenon called The Green Book. His stars, I always mispronounce his name, but I think it's
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, I think we're butchering his name, but
yes,
we know what we're talking about. We know who we're talking about.
Yes.
So, anyway, the family came out recently. The family of the person who he was portraying came out recently, and they're angry about the portrayal of their family member, saying that the movie wasn't accurate.
Really?
Yeah, and so I think it's important for us to take on these stories, you know, and tell our stories our way. Because the story, as it's told for the movie, was written by the son of the black man's bodyguard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, right. So his story is really his father's story. Less about the musician that Ali played and more about the bodyguard that protected him. So it's important for us to take ownership of our stories. That's a bit of a sidebar, but I just want to say that this movie has put the Green Book back on people's radar. And because there's so much controversy around that film, I felt like it was important for me as a car person to start thinking about, you know, the same kinds of things, where to stop, how to be safe, and the things that I think about on a regular basis as a car person, as a person who's always driving a fancy car. I do think about these things, and I'm sure I'm not the only one.
Interesting. I mean, a side musical note, because we're always trying to tie things into music and history. I mean, the whole concept and construct of what people might know of, they might not necessarily know Green Book, but some, if you're over like a certain age, like 30 years old, you've heard of the term Chitlin' Circuit. And that was not necessarily just because of performances in terms of where you'd go in venues, especially in the South, because they were like, you know, very local, but it was tied into that, you know, where we can stay as artists of color, because it wasn't just we're performing in venues in our own neighborhoods, but we couldn't always stay at the fancy hotel. So it was tied into that also about stopping and staying, you know, because certain lunch counters you couldn't go to, or certain spaces you can go to, you know. I mean, you say this as if it is 100 years ago, maybe 60 years ago, if that, still. And, you know, it's still in some places, as you've noted right now, in the U.S. So it's interesting that you tie this into driving, because that movie, Green Book, was about, you know, also in a vehicle, predominantly for the whole movie. It was featured in a car.
Right. And to your point about tying it into music, the actor, the character that Ali played, was a musician.
Yes.
And he was trying to move around from gig to gig and hired this white bodyguard to help him be able to move around from gig to gig in the South of old. And yeah, unfortunately, as you mentioned, some of these issues are becoming prevalent again in terms of being safe. And I won't give too much away, but I will say that one of my stories involves stopping somewhere where I didn't particularly want to stop, but I was tired, and there was a elderly white woman who warned me away and told me to. And so I just want to make the point that it seems like these stories are stories of yesteryear, but I want to remind people that these stories are very right now.
Very real, very relevant, and, you know, definitely part of our life and lifestyle.
Right, right. And also, it seems to me there's this misconception that what I'll call driving while black stories happen to criminals. It happens to people who are doing wrong. And I also want to make the point that driving while black stories happen to all of us.
Yeah.
Just about every black man I know has a driving while black story, and by which I mean a story that involves him in a car and being made uncomfortable either by police or other people who are trying to assert authority unnecessarily.
Agreed. Definitely agreed. Definitely have my own memories of that too.
Exactly.
Wow. Well, Sekou writes, how can people find you online right now?
So, since we're talking about automotive, I'll give people my automotive website. It is simply, SIMPLY, Rides, RIDES.com. You can check out the breadth of my work. I've been writing about cars for many years, so there's lots of articles there. I'm also across social media, at Simply Rides, and you'll see some fun photos and some snippets of video. So check me out.
Looking forward to checking you out. Now, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention two different things I did in the intro. You're actually one of the lead coordinators for the Barson Golf Classic. Is that happening again this year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's coming up in August. I think this year is August 25th. It's a weekend-long event that happens on the Cape, by which I mean Cape Cod, in Falmouth, Massachusetts, at the Falmouth Country Club. We do, let's see, there's a white party, there's live music, there's some games, there's a happy hour, there's a brunch, there's a museum tour, there's a whole slate of activities. This will be year number 19, yay!
Okay, very, very good, very cool.
If you're interested, please check it out at MorrisonGolfClassic.com. It is an African-American golf tournament on the Cape, and it's a fun weekend.
Very nice. And last but not least, how is the social activist jewelry going? How's the your creations? I'm actually wearing one of your creations right now on my right wrist.
Right. Boom! Yeah. Ironically, if we got time, I'll explain how the cars led into the jewelry.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I don't necessarily always feel like cars and jewelry kind of tie in, but you did say at the outset that it was actually kind of geared towards people's tastes. So go for it.
So I'm going to tie all of it together. So what happened was I was doing a test drive in Nashville, actually, and me and my driving partner were accosted by these, best thing I can call them, is hillbillies. And they were threatening us about where we were parked and what we were doing. And what we were doing was taking pictures of the car, right? So
the car you were driving?
The car that I was driving. That I was test driving.
Okay.
What I do. Right?
Right.
So that was a tense encounter, and people always ask if I had the camera on, but no, I did not have the camcorder on at the time. But after they left, because this happened very early in our interaction with the vehicle that day, we tried to do the video about the car that we intended. Well, let's face it, you can't really talk about power steering after you've just been accosted by hillbillies. It doesn't work. Like, you feel upset. Right?
I'm sorry to laugh, but that's the way you phrased it is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You gotta laugh sometimes.
It was funny later.
Yeah.
So we turned that interview into an interview about race and race-based assumption and stereotypes and what we experienced. And I turned that into a web series and a podcast called Brown Boy Bad. The podcast is available on iTunes. We're actually about to add some new episodes this year. And in a way to raise funds for the podcast, someone suggested that I give something away if you donated. So I hired someone to make bracelets. I'm sorry, this is a long story, but I hired someone to make bracelets. And then that became cost prohibitive because I'm paying someone to make bracelets, but I'm giving them away. So then, only to drive down costs, I learned how to make bracelets myself. And people asked me to make more, and I said, no, I'm not making more bracelets. I don't make bracelets. I'm a grown man. But people kept asking. People kept asking, and then it turned into Rocks by Sekou. And Rocks by Sekou has done phenomenally well with really little effort from me. It really has a life of its own. It's been featured on MSNBC, the current season of Quantico on ABC. Blair Underwood is a very staunch client, and he's been promoting the brand.
I think you should repeat that again. That's not necessarily your average actor.
No. Blair Underwood has been rocking the bracelets and promoting them on social media. It's been incredible. And also, Jamele Hill has a bracelet. I got a photo today of Jamele Hill rocking one of my Rocks by Sekou bracelets.
Really? So she writes for The Atlantic, right?
Say again?
She writes for The Atlantic.
Yes, she does. And everyone remembers the drama she had with ESPN.
Yep.
So, yeah, she's a big deal. And so I'm just excited that the brand has grown so much. And it came out of this unfortunate incident where I was test driving a car. So it's cars and jewelry and driving while black, all those things together, all the different things that I do coming together.
Wow, well, that's very cool. And there's a space where people can also see that online too?
Absolutely. RocksbySekou.com and at RocksbySekou across social media.
Very cool. I know it was a little bit more extended than what we had planned, but I appreciate you just like sharing all those stories, and we look forward to hearing more about Simply Rides from you.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I hope some of your listeners chime in, because it's a bit of a departure to talk about race as it pertains to the automotive industry. So I hope people like it, but I feel like it's important for me to do.
That is fine. I remember reading.
Let's enjoy the ride.
There you go. I actually remember reading, and I'm probably like butchering it, but there was actually a car maker of color, an African-American, I believe, who invented a car around like the Model T Ford era. So yeah, I'll have to like go look at my history, but I was like pretty startled to find that on like social media. I didn't even know that they were.
Oh, absolutely. The guy you're talking about designed the Chrysler 300, and that car became so popular that he was cherry-picked to move from car company to car company. He ended up doing a remix of the Lincoln Navigator, which, as you know, is a popular car among brown folks, and designed a few other cars of note. So it's important that people know that, yes, there are African-American car designers and car executives. We are a part of the landscape of the automotive industry and not just as factory workers.
Wow. All right. Cool. Thank you very much. Sacred Rights, ladies and gentlemen. You can catch them online, simplyrides.com. They're being relaunched, and we definitely appreciate him stopping by this afternoon.
Thanks for having me. No skeletons in my closet.
No skeletons in your closet. Definitely no skeletons in your closet. I appreciate that. But I think I could definitely say that you are, you know, notorious. How about that? Can I go with notorious?
All right, I'll take that one.
You'll take that one? All right, we're going to go with some notorious.
I'll take it.
A little biggie. So thank you very much. Talk to you soon. Sacred Rights on 98.1 FM, 1410 AM. Stick around for the mix. It's coming up next.